whatever it takes, like just to be able to live a fulfilling life. Like that's ultimately what I want to do. You know, people talk about being happy all the time, and I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do because you can't. And that also might be a toxic trait. I think it's just about being content and fulfilled and not wanting anymore. And, you know, just the absence of desire is something where I want to be. And that's how I try to sort of go forward with my life, is like, I don't need anything. I have everything I need. So let me just go ahead and work on what I need to work on, right? And that has been incredibly powerful for me.
One of the best feelings, in my opinion, is to have a great conversation. An interaction with someone that's enriching and just meaningful. Sometimes you talk to people that really just inspire you in that way. And the podcast today is me having one of those conversations with one of my favorite contemporary artists. Longtime listeners of the show will know that I actually interviewed this same guest 3 years ago in the midst of the pandemic. And quite a lot has changed in his life since then. And I just felt like this was a great time to pick his brain on a few things that I knew he'd have a great perspective on. Things like creativity, of course, mental health, fatherhood, purpose, responsibility, individualism, and so much more. I don't want to spoil any more than that, so I'll let you listen for yourself. Enjoy the show. Jump right into it, so to speak. So I guess as like a check-in, because I feel like I try to do this now with folks who I haven't talked to in a while. How are you doing? How are things going just in general? It's been a while, obviously. So just kind of curious to hear how you've been doing over the last several years.
Yeah. It's been close to 3 years since we last spoke, and things are good. Things are fulfilling. There's been a ton of like ups and downs, and a lot of the downs are often things that led to great ups.
Yeah,
if that
right.
Makes sense. And I think right now, like I finally feel like I've built the foundation over the last 3 years. You know, when we were last speaking, there was a lot of excitement, a lot of like forward thinking, and a lot of like determination, hard work, like just trying to get out there and be the best version of myself and to crush it and all that kind of stuff. And now it's sort of like I feel a bit more at ease, a bit more fluid, a bit more like assured with the steps that I'm taking. Mm. Where in the previous past, it was a lot of like throwing stuff at the wall and testing and experimenting.
Right.
Now there is little doubt. I'm more assured in what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I went back and listened to that episode actually over like the past, like say week or so. And it's so accurate, your representation of yourself at that time. There was a lot of, you were like Michael Jordan before he won the championship. Like you were just so much fervor, so much like energy and determination to like, I'm going to make this work if it kills me, like, you know?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of drive in that area. So it's cool if we stick with the Michael Jordan analogy to see you now, like you've won a couple rings and you're kind of just like, like I know what I'm doing. I know who I am. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to call them championships necessarily. You know,
you got like a conference finals maybe.
yeah. But there was definitely a ton of wins. Let's just put it that way. There was a ton of wins that, you know, just really helped me orient in the right direction.
Good. That's amazing to hear. And if there's one thing, because I obviously keep up on your work, Instagram, YouTube, et cetera. And if there's one thing about you, you're going to be prolific with your art. You're going to always create. You're going to find a way to, move the needle forward, so to speak. And in the last 3 years, if we think about the world just as a whole, obviously there's been a lot of things going on. We did that podcast, obviously, like right in the middle of the heat of the pandemic, which was kind of crazy. And obviously it went on for longer than I think we expected it would, right? Into 2021 through 2022, and even and now still in some ways. But 3 years ago, I thought your art was great. I thought what you were creating was meaningful. I could tell there was a lot of passion and intention that you put into it. And now, I really can't put my finger on it, so I'm kind of looking for you to help me with this, is your work has taken somewhat of a shift, I feel like, over the last few years. And I can't necessarily, it's still intentional, it's still focused, it's still meaningful. Is it just more of those things? Like, how has your work shifted in the last few years, do you think?
I think, you know, to borrow from Ira Glass, is like, I'm finally matching my results with my taste. Like, I've sort of narrowed that gap. Whereas in the past, I was always trying to create great work.
Sure.
And, you know, I kind of had this mindset of like, when people would ask, like, what's your favorite photograph or what's your best piece of work? I would say the next one. I had this like mentality. I think Tom Brady probably made it famous most recently, where people ask, what's your favorite Super Bowl? He'd be like, the next one, right? And it's sort of like this real sports athletics driven perspective, right? Of not being satisfied until you can just drive another one, right? And I've really departed from that perspective. I started to realize that that perspective was probably being disingenuous to myself and also the subjects that I photograph. So I wanted to sort of reframe myself over the last 2 years of like, let me try to create work that can actually sit amongst my favorites, right? Where if I'm looking to put a book together, if I'm looking to make prints available, if I'm looking to, you know, hang things in a gallery, right?
Yeah.
I need to have some favorites. I need to have work that I'm proud of, that have a story. And sort of that sort of switch made me more open to, I guess, the right type of feedback and change. You know, I owe a lot to the people I surround myself with. So right off the bat, I got to talk about Jason Roman, a.k.a. Stock Easy, SVDP, a recent friend of mine, Santosh Narayan, in India. Like, just to be around different creatives, even though they, you know, one of them's a photographer, not all of them are, and see how they approach the work, see how they look at their work, see the sort of different mentalities they have around the results that they produce. I start to be more receptive to that and just say, you know what, like, maybe my perspective is flawed. And that's where the change started. And I think the byproduct, I know this is not sort of the technical answer people might want to hear of like, hey, how did you get your photographs, you know, noticeably different and have like a bit of a different feel to them? But I think it starts with like us, the creative, right? And when I started to approach it in that regard, where I didn't hold a lot of the beliefs I had as gospel, where I looked at things a little bit more holistically and just tried to just change as much as I could, you know, in a calculated way, I think the results started to come. And it's a weird, like, I don't mean it to be a cop-out, Dimitri, but like, you know, sometimes when you start to do things that you least expect, you end up getting the results that you wanted. You know what I mean? It's interesting in that way.
What's funny is that's a direct parallel to something that you said in the last episode of when you were trying to make a transition into living the kind of a more fully fledged creative life. You know, I think thinking way back now, when you're making that transition from, you know, working kind of a traditional job and kind of having photography as like a, you know, a side passion that you were kind of doing, experimenting with wedding photography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you wanted to do something a little bit more focused and you were trying to build out this plan. I think one thing you said was like going into it and thinking, I know nothing. I don't know anything about what I'm trying to do. I'm going to approach this as humbly as I possibly can and like break myself down and like build myself back up to get to the point that I want to do. It's almost like that's an iterative process. When I heard that the first time, I was like, okay, you do it and then you're good. You did it one time, you keep moving forward. But it's almost like this is a cyclical, like you have to keep doing that over and over again. Like if I talk to you in 3 years again, you'd probably tell me a similar answer of like, that's how I got better, right? So that's really interesting.
I'm glad you brought that up because like, you know, I went through that process and then for a moment in time, you think that, oh, like I've figured it out. Like this is my process. This is who I am. And then, you know, when the odds get a little bit higher, a little bit more stacked against you, like you have to sort of keep reinventing yourself. And I take a lot of inspiration from even like Michelin star restaurants. Like it's so unrewarding at times. Like, yeah, the recognition is nice, but the amount of work that goes in year after year after year to kind of hold that rating where all the eyes are on you, right? Like it takes that sort of real focused and determination and even trust to be like, you know what, I know this worked, but I'm gonna go in this direction,
right? And that's, it's, yeah, it's almost like a leap of faith in some ways as well. And I think you did it in the past in crossing such a large chasm to kind of get to where you got to afterwards, and now you're doing it again, like you're saying, which is really brave. But for a creative individual, I think it's necessary if you want to move forward. But speaking of that, like some creative, I guess you could say, highlights that you've had over the last few years, ones that come to my mind at least, the roaming series. I think you started within the last 3 years, which is really meaningful, kind of traveling and telling stories through travel. And it's so funny because we talked about travel so much on that first episode, and you said how much like this is meaningful to me, and then you proved it. You created a whole series around it, which I thought was amazing. Church and Street is another series that you created. I think that also kind of takes a pretty interesting blend of multiple things: travel, photography, storytelling, culture, etc. Some of the collaborations you've had, you know, SVDP, I think, is probably the most notable in my mind, at least. I feel like the work that you two have created is pretty dope, and you put me onto his music, which I will forever be thankful for. So, but you know, I'm just kind of rambling, but a little bit. But in your mind, any of those, and it doesn't have to be any that I listed, but any specific highlights over the last 3 years that you're like, man, like, I did that. That was a dope ass thing that I was able to either be a part of or do independently. Like, what kind of comes to mind?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like everything feeds into itself. So I, you know, for me, at a micro level, it's like, there's certain photographs now that I look back with a lot of reference, and I now have favorite photographs, and I'm happy to be that kind of person where I can look at a good selection of my photographs and be happy about. So there's a select number of photographs. I think the most, the one that really sticks with me right now is I wrote about it in the Church and Street, you know, photo club, my favorite photograph of 2022, where we got to visit a school and meet a bunch of kids. And we took these portraits there, and there was one portrait that really stood out, and it kind of brought together, it's a culmination of all my skills, all my work, all my sacrifice, meeting, you know, this sort of person with, like, you know, in a metaphorical way, had a lot of cultural significance to my journey, right? And then I also just think about the journeys we've been on. And a lot of that just, you know, that, like, just being able to travel to a different part of the world and survive there for months at a time, to throw yourself in new environments, to go on tour, you know, with one of my best friends. Like, all these things are just, like, you know, just notches in the belt, like feathers in the cap, like whatever, you know, analogy you want to use. These kind of, they just sort of like stack up. And so one doesn't necessarily stand above the other. I think the biggest thing for me is, like, I'm just doing it. And, you know, especially in the last 6 months, the changes that I've made, like, I've made more changes to my personal life that, you know, I enjoy more than anything else, that I get to wake up and be a creative. Like, I get to do this, whether I'm creating for myself, whether I'm creating for a company like Henry's, for example, or a brand or a sponsor, whatever it may be. Like, I just get to wake up and create. And I think that's the biggest thing that stands apart, you know, from anything else. Right.
Right. And it's a huge win with that in and of itself. And I think in some ways that's what so many people are striving for. But not that many people can actually say that they're actually doing that. Maybe in a partial way of it's somewhat of what I do, or maybe 30%, 40% of what I do on a day-to-day basis. But for that to really be at the core of everything that you're doing, from the time you wake up to the time that you go to bed, is really amazing. And that actually, what you said right before that, feeds right into what I wanted to talk about next, is that balancing of sort of the personal and professional life. And that's really, I kind of buried the lead a little bit here, but that's really the focus of this episode to a degree, is to talk a little bit more about that in a intentional way, and some of the things that just naturally come as a part of that. You, over the last 3 years, right, you've had all these amazing achievements and opportunities, but, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would imagine probably one of the things just in general that stands at the top is the birth of your second child, which was I don't know. I rarely have, I guess, visceral reactions to things, but I do vividly remember, I think you made like a post, or you said something of like, you're expanding your roster, something like that along those lines. And I was like, I just thought that was so cool. Like, I don't know why, but I remember that vividly. And I was like, wow, like what a moment. So I'm like gushing a little bit here, but if you can even just put that into words. Can you just tell me about that experience? You know, what it means to expand your family in that way? Just, you know, kind of walk me through that a little.
We got one of them COVID babies, right? Mysteriously, 9 months after or within a pandemic, right?
Right.
Yeah, that was a fun one because, like, you know, my wife and I just decided to kind of keep it low key. We didn't really tell anybody.
Yeah.
And most people didn't know. And, like, it was only a close group of friends that found out closer to. But most of my circle and her circle found out through those, like, three posts. And it was literally, like,
that's crazy.
The day after each other where it was, like, I posted, like, a sonogram, and then I posted a bump, and then I posted the baby being born, and it mattered for 3 days. So that was fun.
Fastest baby in the world.
And, you know, having two kids is like having three and a half, man. Like, it really does change and stress test the discipline and the routines you've had when you've had your first kid, right? And
right.
We are so fortunate. I am so fortunate for my partner and our first kid and, like, what we were able to build with him, right? And collectively. And I take great pride in how other people react when they meet him and interact with him and all that kind of stuff. So I like to believe, like, we're doing a good job when that happens. And then you welcome the second kid and it's like everything you thought you knew is now up for debate, you know?
Right.
And the second one is never like the first one.
No.
There's a 5-year gap between these two, and we definitely see it. The oldest loves the youngest. But it was a bit of a wake-up call in the sense that, like, you know, with the first kid, because of our work-life balance, it's kind of all over the place. But
yeah.
We had a lot of help with the first kid, right? So I could go and do a lot of things. I could change careers, pivot, try different things, all that kind of stuff. With this, you know, we're working from home now. It's primarily us. So you have to be more attentive. You have to be more present. And again, I give all credit to my partner. She does the heavy lifting. She holds it down so I can go and do what I do. But I also, it was a wake-up call in the sense of, like, let me be more picky with what I say yes to. Let me say no more to more things, and the things I say yes to, let them be things that are actually challenging, and just sort of reframe priorities in my life. Like, you know, if you were following me 3 years ago and you're listening to this and you're looking at me now, like, there's a big departure in how much work I actually output. You know, I'm only doing maybe 15, 20 YouTube videos a year compared to 75, which was crazy. Social media, like, I don't have any social media apps on my phone. I download Instagram when I want to post something. I download Twitter or now Threads if I want to post something. But I do a lot of these things to sort of change, you know, how my attention gets divvied up, right? And so, you know, I'm thankful, I guess. Like, I think that's if I had to use one word, you know, just you have things that come into your life that will demand a response. And sometimes it just brings the best out of you. And I like to believe when you approach it with a little bit of honesty and authenticity, that that's what ends up happening in the long run.
Yeah. And aside from admiring you, I'm sometimes just shocked by you as well. But because I've noticed that as well. I followed your work for several years, as you mentioned. So I'm one of those individuals have noticed that, you know, the creators that you like, you notice when they either change something about their work or change the frequency of their work. I think of, like, oh, I was getting two videos a week. Now I'm getting one. You know, you know what I mean? You just kind of naturally pick up on those type of things. You think to yourself and you connect the dots, obviously. But I'm still, despite that, knowing obviously what you have going on in your personal life and how that's going to naturally change you, I still think to myself, like, how the hell is this guy, like, putting out work like this? Like, you know, this is really amazing to me. But that idea, and this was really the impetus for this episode in the first place, kept coming into my mind with other folks as well. Like, how is XYZ person doing this when she has so much on their plate already? Like, they're already doing other things as well that I find challenging. Like, how are they balancing this, so to speak, to put it into words? And then I heard an interview, actually, where one of these successful figures kind of solved that question, at least, or gave it a starting point of that it was sacrifice and selfishness, like a combination of those two, which in my head, like, are at first maybe are two negative things, or perceived as two negative things, or like, ooh, like it just kind of gives me a little bit of a cringe reaction when I think about that, you know, sacrifice of personal relationships, free time, you know, other hobbies, sleep, you know, whatever it means as like a pursuit of their craft. And obviously this is a spectrum and not all folks kind of go to the extreme, but just to kind of get to your specific situation, your unique situation in particular, how do you view sacrifice and selfishness as a part of your journey? You know, is this an idea that you've maybe like thought about at all or kind of contemplated over the last, say, 6 months or even the last several years?
Yeah. I fundamentally, like, I believe art demands sacrifice. And I, you know, that's not something that has changed. So it's always coming at the cost of something. And I'm sort of always trying to position myself so I'm ready and prepared to create, you know, art, or at least move the art forward with respect to what I do, right? So that's not alien to me. I think the selfishness thing, that's like not talked about enough. And yeah, I'm incredibly selfish when it comes to the work, right? Like, it's not for everyone. And I think that, you know, Rick Rubin's new book, The Creative Act, I think there's a segment in there where he talks about this. And, you know, he just harps on this thing where, like, creatives are like kind of born creative in a way. You can learn creativity, but there's sort of these creative brains that sort of like, it's like this intrinsic calling. You kind of have to do this thing. You have to find a way to make this happen. And maybe it's a type of neurodivergence in a way, but like, it's inside of you that compels you to kind of take this path. And with it comes this selfishness that will say no to a lot of things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think people should be ashamed of that kind of thing. Mm. You know, for me, this means like a lot of parties, a lot of social events, a lot of weddings, a lot of engagements, all these kind of, like a lot of the stuff, just I'm not there. I missed a lot of them. I'll probably continue to miss a lot of them. But also comes with like, there's gonna be a handful that we don't miss. You know, there's a bit of a, I guess, an inner circle that you have to be present for. But, you know, it's going to come with a lot of these tough decisions, because you got to decide for yourself, like, what is the most important thing to you right now? And I don't think there's a right answer. I think there's just the answer for you. And for me, you know, more times than not, the art is what's going to go and take priority. And I say that because, you know, in my heart of hearts, I believe like art demands sacrifice. You have to be willing to give up some things for this. You know, it would have been far more profitable for me if I continued to make YouTube videos, if I just focused on gear related content and didn't do any travel content. Like, I would be making, I'm making way less than I could be making. You know what I mean? I turn down sponsors all the time. Even if sponsors are willing to pay more than the two or three that I agree to work with right now. And that sacrifice is because I believe that in order for me to move myself forward as an artist, that the work that I want to create, the work that I want to be proud of, like, that demands this type of sacrifice right now. However many years down the road that might be, it demands this kind of sacrifice right now.
Yeah. Wow. And thinking about that with, thinking about your new child as well. I feel like I can still call it new. Call them a new child now.
He's still,
like,
he's fresh.
I think that could still be a term, right? Under 2 years, new baby. Thinking about that, you know, once they came along, everything else takes it like a step down, right? Like everything that was maybe at rank number 34, now you're at rank number 35 or 36 or whatever. You know, everything has to take a step back in accordance with like these major life shifts. One thing I remember that was a really big part, and I think we actually ended the last episode with this or somewhere in the fourth quadrant, so to speak, of the episode, we kind of talked about this, was the idea of creativity shared, that was such like a large pillar of why you made things in the first place and why you created things in the first place. With the shift that your work has taken over the last few years, that's something I was also thinking about in advance of this episode. Where do you think that mission sort of fits into your work now? I mean, is your work still have that underpinning of doing that and having that specific meaning, or is it maybe more a little bit more personal to you now? Kind of walk me through that a little bit.
Yeah, creativity shared is probably a statement I should get tattooed. I don't see that ever leaving my side, because like the most fulfilling messages or interactions are often when people are telling me how my art, my videos, or my writing has sort of motivated them in some small way to go mm-hmm. and create for themselves. And like that, it still makes me feel so damn good when that happens. Right? And so yeah. it drives a lot of the work that I do. Like I want to become the best creative I can, because I believe when I do that, one, that I am telling compelling stories that are really meaningful, that are keeping the culture alive, that are showing it in an authentic and interesting perspective. But also the byproduct of creating this body of work is that it will inspire, my hope is that it will inspire another generation of creatives to seek a creative path and to create their best work. It's always been there. It's still there. I think that helps me make the sacrifices and concessions, because now I'm
interesting.
Like, you know, if I'm doing just a review video or an article every single time, like that's not moving that as much anymore. You know, creativity shared wasn't moving that needle as much as other work. So the focus on like Church and Street, which, you know, Roaming kind of lived and then died and became Church and Street, which is like a newsletter, a club, a travel series, among other things that it will morph into. It's like this one umbrella that houses everything. But that whole idea here is like, let me just create my best work. Let me bring you along the journey. Let me tell you some stories here and cultivate this group of people that, you know, when they read these stories and they share these stories, that they feel compelled to go and create their best work. So, yeah, I I'm glad you brought that up as well. You know, I think that's sort of like the biggest point of gratification outside of me creating my favorite work is hearing how it impacts other people and motivates them to create as well.
Yeah. And when I, just listening to you, and I thought this when I was even writing out kind of the theme kind of script for this episode, I was like, damn, being an artist is no joke. Like, this is not for the faint of heart. And you said it earlier of that it really isn't for everybody. You hear, you know, professional athletes, actors, whatever, just artists in general, whatever their specific craft is, say that all the time of that, like you can look up to me, but you might not want to actually, you might not be able to be me in the way that you think. You know, improving takes a lot of, you know, blood, sweat, tears, time, et cetera. No amount of, you know, shortcuts are kind of going to get you to a real end destination that you're going to be satisfied with. And one thing I wonder, and this might not have come in the last few years, because I think you've been sacrificing for a long time, like kind of knowing a little bit more about your history. But do you think you ever had like an inflection point where there's different schools of thought with this. I'm not sure if you've ever read the War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, but he has this like idea in the book called Turning Pro, of like you flip a switch of like, I'm no longer an amateur, I'm a professional now, and that comes with certain responsibility. And for his specific creative craft or creative choice, which was writing, like that's when he had his breakthrough of like, I'm not an amateur anymore, I'm a professional. This is what I do. Do you remember having any sort of inflection point like that of one day I'm kind of middling and trying to do things, and now we're doing it. This is who I am, and this is who I'm going to continue to be.
I don't know exactly when it happened, but it happened during, you know, these pandemic years. A lot more in the last 3 years.
Okay.
It was this, you know, before that, it was a lot of like, I'm trying to get there. I want to get there.
Yeah.
I want to be there. And then somewhere in the last 3 years, you know, be it a collection of like, you know, winning awards for select photographs, mm-hmm. Having a gallery exhibition in my home city, key partners taking notice and the right sponsors taking notice.
Yeah.
And even just small things like my close circle of friends whose opinion I trust, like them really seeing the growth and development, like, the switch short sort of flipped where it's like that person I'm trying to become, I am that person. And for me, it's about furthering that person.
Yeah.
And it's a weird sort of like, I don't know, metaphysical way of existing where it's sort of like, I know who I am even decades from now, So I need to live that life now because I am that person. I am both the past, the present, and the future in a weird way. Anyone listening right now is like, what? or it makes perfect sense to you. Yeah. Right? But while, you know, you can have these two schools of thought where like tomorrow is not promised, but you can also see yourself in the future.
Right.
You know, you can still hold those two thoughts. And so for me, it's a lot of that visualization of like, I know what in 4 or 5 decades, you know, what that life looks like and what I have with me. So it's about sort of meeting that every day I can, even in some small way, and how I approach it, because I am that person. I am that creative. I'm going to keep trying to make the best art possible and trying to have these moments of like these catalytic moments where like it's like a serious speed boost. It's like Mario Kart when you hit that booster, right? Like it just kind of pushes you forward each and every time you do it. I think like with each major project and each major trip, like those are the ones for me, right? When I actually really get to put my feet in a totally different part of the world, there's no wariness with the camera. I think before there was, you know, maybe 2019, 2018, there's sort of like me trying to like be a camera pro in a weird way. Like I'm trying to like remember a bunch of stuff and all these kinds of things. And I guess maybe when I accepted it, I started to just like, it just became more intuitive to me. And I wish there was a better answer to give people, but I, you know, if I could boil it down, really, it's just hard work and patience. You know, hard work and patience, and you compound that, and that switch will flip eventually.
And there's two specific things that I found interesting with what you just said. One of them is that kind of having that past, present, and future view of things, I think, is a unique take on what the more traditional lens is, which is, I don't want to let myself down the past. Like the past me kind of dreamed about being where I am today, and I want to live up to those expectations maybe. But thinking about living up to the expectations both of the past and the future, I think is a really powerful thought. And I similar to what you were saying, it does kind of sound a little weird maybe to some, but for others, it might make perfect sense. And I think it also kind of gives you day to day when you're kind of in the trenches, so to speak, like motivation to get over certain obstacles or certain challenges that you might run into. As we kind of said before, this kind of creative life isn't an easy thing. And some days it's harder than others. Some days it's easy. Some days you just wake up and like, I feel like I have just like Green Lantern powers. I can make whatever I want to make. Like I can shape it into whatever. And then other times it's like, shit, like am I bad? Like have I lost my skills? Like, do I still know how to do this? You know, it's kind of, you go through different things. But the second part that I thought was really interesting with what you said was with, specifically with art craft, with cameras, for some people they like creating with a camera for different reasons. Some people really like the gear aspect of it, of knowing that this has XYZ more megapixels than this other camera had. And some people are like, this is just a thing that allows me to communicate what's in my brain and put it in a physical sense. And I've always been in the latter category. I feel like I've been like the least gear interested photographer that I know. And for me, I've always thought that as a benefit, that I always like to be unencumbered. Like I don't feel like I can't take an image because I don't have the right lens, or, you know, I don't have the right camera, et cetera, et cetera. Can you kind of give me like a little bit more of an insight into how you balance kind of the work you do, maybe like with Henry's, for instance, or maybe just even for your own personal channel that is very gear focused on, you know, the new camera, the new X, Y, and Z, versus maybe internally you're like, you give me an iPhone and I'm going to create, like it's going to happen regardless. Yeah. Like kind of, how do you like think about those two like sides, I guess?
Yeah. You know, I kind of will always enjoy technology innovating and iterating over time. Like I just like seeing people create things and engineer solutions. And like now it's probably a bit more iterative than it is innovative. You know, there is a bit of a plateau, and we'll see maybe some serious inflection point at time. But I still find all of it cool, right? It's like, okay, like how much more can you engineer? How much more can you squeeze out of this thing? And that's sort of like, I try to maintain that excitement when I'm talking about the gear, because, you know, when I'm looking at this thing, anyone that's watched any of my reviews, like I'm not here to like bash cameras. I'm not here to give you a, a pros and cons list. I'm not telling you why you should hate one or the other. Like my job, when I make a first impressions or when I make a review, is that I'm thinking about the person that is searching this camera looking to make an informed decision. They're coming to me and they're like, okay, Leica SL2S, I've heard about this. I want to know, is this the right camera for me? So right. I try to match it with like, let me bring some excitement, some real world tests, putting it in some high stakes environments, create some great visuals to tell a story of like, this is what it's like to use this camera and this is what you can expect. And then my hope is that when by the end of it, you have a decision. Like I'm not telling you to buy it or not buy it, right?
Right.
So the gear, I'll always have sort of this affinity for it because I just naturally love technology and I enjoy talking about it. I'm not one of these people that, you know, there's some people that might, unlike you, I would say some people that kind of like poo-poo the technology talk and they're like, I'm an artist. Like I would never like sink to that level. And I just think that's a load of BS. I think you can have both schools of thoughts. I think that you can be excited about technology, passionate about technology, talk about it, indulge in it, and you can also be an artist and love the art and be passionate about the art. And, you know, those don't have to be mutually exclusive. So I think about the technology, to be honest, when I need to think about it. I actually don't think about it most of the day. It's not until I hear like, oh, we have this new product coming out. Would you like to review it? That I'm actually starting, you know, wheels are turning and I'm starting to think about it. Or maybe like there's a spicy rumor of like a new thing that might actually be something I've been waiting for, right?
Meaningful.
Like, I'm sort of in this path where like I was a Fuji user and then I've transitioned over. So like, you know, I sort of have like this four camera kit that I build out for my photography and like half of them are replaced now. So it's like now I'm looking for these next two pieces. So naturally, if a rumor comes up, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, is that the one? I don't know. But, you know, that too is second to the art. Like the reason why I don't do as many reviews, the reason why I don't put out as much content now is because I am prioritizing the art itself. I think it's okay to be excited about technology. I think it's all fine to talk and to geek out and to, you know, go on forums and all that kind of stuff. But I think what differs from maybe, you know, what I was producing a lot is that now it shows that moderation, like moderation is the key. Like it shouldn't be the end all be all. I've said it before, like gear is important, but important to a degree. It's not unimportant and it's not the most important. It's just as important as it needs to be, right? So I hope that answers your questions. I feel like I'm saying a lot there.
It does.
For me, it's not a mutually exclusive conversation. I think there's times for either of them. And just for me, I'm happy to say that the art is the primary focus most of the time.
And it's interesting to hear your perspective compared to others I've heard and also my own in that one thing in my gear isn't really that important to me mindset, I've also kind of had a thought of like, what if what helps me to decide is the art that I'm creating, which I think is maybe a little bit more towards your side of the spectrum of, well, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to take portraits under a certain condition? Are you trying to make, I don't know, really high quality images of products? Are you doing advertising work, whatever? I think in a way that in terms of your subject and then also the conditions that you're going to be working with therein sort of help to really quiet the noise, so to speak. Because in reality, there's a lot of different options that you could use, and you could probably get good results from a lot of different cameras and a lot of different lenses and a lot of different X, Y, and Zs, you know, editing softwares, etc. But like, if you're connected to your art or if you're connected with your subject in a really meaningful way, like that kind of provides the answer many times. And then the missing link is oftentimes content like yours that says, hey, this is what this is really good for. This is kind of my experience with it under that connection. And then that gives maybe that viewer the light bulb to say, ah, this is exactly what I've been looking for to take portraits in Iceland.
You know? That's the part why I never want to be a person that gets like snooty or too good for this technology conversation. Because, you know, understanding this technology, understanding the nuance, all this kind of stuff, and then putting it through that translation layer of what it means for your art, like that describes what my review strategy is, like why I make the reviews I make and why I think people enjoy is because it's taking all this technical stuff and translating it into like what it actually means for the art. And that's often the most satisfying thing for me, is just like, you know, being able to know why these results are happening. And then when you know that sort of translation, then you know, like, where are the limits? And you could translate that to what you create. And then you just, I think maybe that just also helps with this intuition of knowing what gear is right for you and what you should invest in and all that kind of stuff. And I have to believe that's also why I'm creating what I feel is my best work yet. I know there's plenty of room for growth, but it does come down to a lot of that.
Let me preface. I'm switching gears a little bit here, and getting back to maybe you in more specificity. One thing I've also in combination with, because your gear reviews, or your gear discussions, or just your understanding of cameras and the things that you say, they hold a certain amount of weight. I feel personally, I think you've been doing this for long enough, and you've built up enough of a presence to where if you say something, people are going to be like, oh, so that was Gaddon's opinion. All right, interesting. Like, they're going to take that into mind. At least somewhere, and it's going to have some level of bearing maybe into how they think, right? That's the influence part of what you do to a degree. But then I extrapolate that out even beyond gear and just to the art that you create and the people that you affect with it and how they receive it, et cetera, et cetera. And then I go another layer and I think of, you know, the things and the changes that you've made to your art out of necessity, to be able to progress as a creative, and the different receptions and the different criticisms and the different feelings that you get from both your audience and maybe even individuals in your personal life. And with this shift that you've taken over the last several years, how do you feel like that's been received from your online audience and people who just know your work from a distance, and maybe individuals kind of like what you were saying in your close circle, or maybe even just family and friends that are maybe on that like secondary circle, so to speak? Yeah. How do you think they've kind of received, I don't want to say like a new Gaddon, but just kind of like this latest phase of your creative journey?
You know, I could think about the handful of people, but in large part, it's sort of been a positive reception to it, right?
Cool.
Like, I think my close circle of family friends seeing me create more travel, more authentic, more engaging content, and then seeing the imagery go along with it, like, I think a lot of them are proud, they're happy, they're excited. A lot of this comes from personal growth and just focusing on myself and my mental health and, like, you know, having just a lot of these conversations with that close circle of family and friends, and just seeing that, like, oh damn, like, that, you know, this is good. Like, you're moving in this direction. Right. And I think for my audience, I'm sure they would like love to see more content. More,
I'm sure. Yeah.
More Fuji content. I'm sure. And, you know, part of me is just like, I never want to forget where I came from. So there always will be some sort of review content in some capacity.
Sure.
But I largely just want to work on things that get me excited. You know, like, I have, you know, talking to experts and therapists, and like, it's one of these things where, like, I know what my brain is good at. I know that how I can position it for a success and how do I get work done and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, working on things that don't excite me is always going to be an uphill battle, and it's not going to give me my best results. So I'd much rather just focus on things that have me excited and then just popcorn between things and just keep it moving. You know, this is partly why, like, I'll plan a bunch of videos for the year and then, like, cancel a few. Like, I did, like, yesterday. I was editing. I had a video scripted, shot, B-roll, everything done. And then I just realized, like, why haven't I edited this video yet? You know what? I'm not excited about it. I just don't want to talk about this subject matter. It was, for anyone wondering, it was about a Leica Q3 versus the X100V.
Oh.
Some great conversation.
I would have actually really enjoyed that video.
I felt like there was a great Venn diagram of people that would have loved that video.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just decided, like, I just don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather take that off my plate and then write some articles that I'm excited about, write some posts for the Church and Street community. It's a small but passionate community there. So I can't speak to the reception too much just because it's not my opinion, it's other people. But from what I've gathered, it's largely positive. And that is good. I don't think that would have necessarily changed my direction. But it is nice when the direction you believe is best for yourself starts to align with the people around you, and they seem to agree as well.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of the, like, a really nice intersection when those things intersect, like, in that meaningful way. Yeah. So what I think about, or what came to my mind, was other creators that I've seen, completely different out of photography, just whatever creator, maybe YouTube in particular, I find this very interesting with, of, you know, you're making a certain type of video and it gets you to a certain point, and then you see that creator be like, I don't like doing this anymore. You can tell they don't like doing it anymore. Yeah. They tell you they don't like doing it anymore, even in certain instances.
And like, what happens, Dimitri? Like, a lot of them burn out.
Yeah.
A lot of them have these unhealthy relationships, right? Yeah. Like, and I never want to become that person.
I'm right.
Like, I'm just going to keep working on whatever gets me excited, what genuinely makes me happy.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, it was like, yeah, making a ton of videos 2 times a week and just getting it out there and just really promoting that sort of like identity, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But I never wanted to ever that come at a sacrifice of my own personal health, my mental health, and any of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. And it's, and the sacrifice, which is, I guess, kind of goes right back into the main purpose of this episode, that I think is sacrificed in a negative sense of that I'm sacrificing maybe my mind, my art, even just to kind of keep up with what my audience expects of me. And then you see maybe individuals who say, all right, well, screw it. Like, I don't really care. And then obviously you see the reception or the feelings of their audience change of like, this is what you promised us. Like, you forgot about who you used to be, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there are those people out there that feel very viscerally to when an artist that they look up to decide to go in a different direction. But one thing that made me smile or just kind of laugh is when you're like, well, I wouldn't have changed anyway, even if the reception was negative. I mean, not screw you guys, but I mean, I'm going to do what is in alignment with me. And I'm just happy that's been the result for you. That's my point there. So that's really cool to hear. But here you are in 2023, pressing forward, many other artists kind of doing the same. And I feel like through this episode, we've gotten a really good understanding into kind of how you are now. Even seeing you now compared to 3 years ago, I feel like you have just a different air about you. We're not in the same room. We're, you know, just virtually, but you kind of feel different as well. And obviously, like I said, I've noticed kind of the shift in your work, but with that came a lot of lessons, behaviors, you know, maybe little goals that you set with yourself. You kind of made a mention of this on this episode and last episode, how serious you take kind of personal development, mental health, those type of things. For other creators, if you could offer any piece or tidbit of advice, I shouldn't even say advice. If you could offer any piece or tidbit of kind of what you're doing and what you're prioritizing that maybe others can kind of take inspiration or guidance from, What are some things that you've done over like the last year, 2 years that maybe are different from what you did in the past, but have really like paid dividends in terms of your personal growth?
Yeah, I think taking a sort of like just, I guess, listing out or looking at your life really holistically and thinking about, and I don't want to sound like Marie Kondo here, but like, you know, what are the things that are sort of detractors in your life? You know, what are things that occupy your physical life or your mental life, like what are these things that sort of like feel like they're detracting from you, that feel like they're pulling you apart, that push you to the brink, that make you feel uncomfortable? And you know, I had this year was probably the biggest investment I decided to take and make into myself. This is the first time I'm talking about it publicly, but like going to a therapist regularly was probably the best thing that I did for myself. And you hear so many people talk about it. I've been a proponent of it, even though I wasn't there. Like, you know, from my health background and just understanding, you know, taking psychology and understanding a lot of these dials and just even understanding neurochemistry. You know, I've always been aware of it, but I've always tried to work on it myself and through reading and all that kind of stuff. But taking that step to actually seek a professional that's licensed, that's, you know, went to school for this, and talking to them about it over the months, that is probably the most important thing I would recommend to any kind of creative. And that, you know, the way I look at it is like, I didn't get to a point where I was in this dark, soul-crushing kind of place.
Mm.
But taking a just, you know, accountability for like, when am I at my best? When am I not at my best? What are the things that are still occupying parts of my brain? When am I getting trapped into these time sucks in a way, like these holes that just suck you in and you kind of like lose track of time. And that, you know, made me realize that like, oh, there was a lot of things that I needed to figure out and work on and discuss and sort of like work on, you know, to use that same word. I think that's probably the best way to say it. I realized that there was a lot of anger I was holding on to that I wasn't aware of most of the time, but then it would kind of surface to the top. There was a lot of things that I felt because of how I was wronged or because of what I was owed or all these, they held a lot of this animosity. And it would start to creep up and it would hold me back in what I was able to do or able to, you know, get done for the day even, let alone long term. I started to think that, okay, what if I could, as if I was, you know, same way I was taking care of my physical health by running or going to the gym, whatever, like, can I take that same analogy for my mental health? Can I put it through some sort of program to sort of work away these things and just sharpen it? And that's, you know, long story short, like over the last few months, like that's what happened is like, you know, thanks to a great therapist, I was able to sort of work through and resolve a lot of these things. I was able to develop a lot of positive routines that were useful for me and even techniques to help me get out of certain thought patterns, right? Where I would go down these patterns and kind of get stuck there. Now it's like, oh, I can catch myself and go back. I start to realize like, oh, you don't ever get rid of things, you sort of like understand how to work with them, right? And that was probably I can give you a list of things. I won't give you the full list, maybe a couple of things, but that was probably the most prominent thing that I would recommend. Where if you are aspiring to be a full-time creative, if you are a full-time creative, I think having a therapist you see on some sort of schedule, I believe will ultimately bring more fulfillment from your journey. Right? When having someone else sort of look at your brain and talk to you about it, again, it is about finding the right person there, does lead to some, I think, some really valuable perspectives. From that, there's a byproduct of change that happened to my life where the whole like, cool, I'm just going to delete my social media apps. Like it just, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, like my brain just can easily get sucked into social media and go down to doom scroll and lose track of time. And like, even though I know from a neurochemistry perspective of how these apps are designed like slot machines and can really garner these dopamine responses from you, even though I knew this, you know, my frontal lobe knows this, the monkey part of my brain would still get stuck. Yeah. And then I had to realize like, and this is readings from like the Atomic Habits by, you know, that just really popularized this. Like,
love that book.
Yeah, like I just realized like, oh, I just gotta delete it. I just gotta make it so hard so that I can't just go instinctively,
yep,
you know, scroll this thing, right? And then the other part of it is sort of like me realizing that I'm not going to sort of like, how can I phrase this? I look at my journey and what I took to get here, right? And I see how the work has paid off in so many ways and a lot of the benefits I've derived from the decisions I've made. And sometimes that puts an increased amount of pressure on today. And that pressure often makes me not want to do any work because it feels overwhelming. And the one thing that I'm working on now that I'm having some success in is how to actually tackle that and position myself to be productive by removing that sort of pressure and understanding that, you know, the thing that really got me here was the curiosity and the excitement. So how can I position my tasks to make them easy, to make them excitable, to have me curious about them so I can continue to go through the day and also ease up a little bit? Like, you know, at the end of the day, like not everything has to be done, right? There isn't this crux of like this crunch of a deadline, I should say, that it has to be finished today. Most of these deadlines are self-imposed. So yeah, in no particular order, but that's kind of what it is, like getting a therapist, understanding my limitations, and then relieving the pressures of sort of what brought me here. Those were the biggest changed, a lot of them happening from, you know, January 2023 to now, those were the things that I would probably speak to most.
That's a pretty powerful few. That's pretty, even though it's not a very long.
I don't think you're ready for that.
I wasn't. No, I wasn't. I really wasn't. But I think what's funny though, as I'm listening to you, it's crazy how certain things that you hear like call back to other things that you, and now you kind of start to get, and I'm like, oh shit, all right. Like that, I kind of like see what that meant in the past. One thing I'm thinking about, and you might appreciate this as a basketball fan or someone who kind of keeps up with basketball to a degree. I know I actually kind of started this show with an analogy of the whole Michael Jordan thing. But I'm not sure if you remember when Paul George was like in the bubble and he was just playing like hot garbage and everyone was kind of like on him and like, oh, pandemic P and like all this other stuff. And then he kind of talked about how it took a really like hard toll on his mental health and he had to like really dig into that in a meaningful way and kind of change things. And that, at the time I thought that I was like, oh, okay, good for him. That's really cool, et cetera. But then in later interviews, he kind of opened up into it a little bit more and talking about the full length of his life and like to get here, how he, even though obviously he's a great basketball player, et cetera, to get here, he played with so much anger. He played with so much pressure. He played with so much expectation of himself that he loved the craft of what he was doing, and at the core, yes, but in the way he hated the day-to-day of it because of some of these other things that were involved with it. And it took kind of a realization of that and a confidence that I wouldn't necessarily lose my edge if I tried to remedy these things. Like, I'll be better for it overall. I'll change, but I'll be better for it overall. And kind of hearing your story over the last, say, 6 months, year, I feel like there's some parallels there in a way of some of the things that you were talking about. So that's just really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because, like, you know, I won't lie, there was a bit of this competitive anger mix that those close to me knew. Like, it was never something I made very public, but I used that as like an intrinsic driver. Like, there were people I would look at and like, I'm going to crush you. Like, you think you can be good? Like, I'm going to show you what good. And like, that sort of thing, I would use it and leverage that to drive results. And then, you know, for me, it came back to sort of questioning whether that was the healthiest of relationships to have, and how much more productive could I be when I stopped externalizing my motivation as well, a portion of it, I should say, and remedy that and focus more on the potential of things. And yeah, like that's been huge this year. You know, and just, I think me and SVDP, like, we share a lot of conversations, and like him seeing the reaction is often funny, just to see how he reacts to when he met me and how I've changed even in the short amount of time. But whatever it takes, like, just to be able to live a fulfilling life, like, that's ultimately what I want to do. Right. Like, I forgot where I was, where I was reading this, it was some author, and I feel terrible for not even remembering it. But you know, people talk about being happy all the time, and I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do because you can't, and that also might be a toxic trait. I think it's just about being content and fulfilled, and not wanting anymore, and you know, just the absence of desire is something where I want to be. And that's how I try to sort of go forward with my life, is like, I don't need anything. I have everything I need. So let me just go ahead and work on what I need to work on, right? And that has been incredibly powerful for me.
You know, funny enough, I feel like I've heard that same message somewhere, and I'm like, damn it, who was that other who said that? Because it was a great message. And maybe there's could have been several people who have made it.
I'm going to try to find out.
Yeah, so seriously.
Maybe if there's like an epilogue to this that you can just like add it in. Because I want to find out.
I would love to know, because it seems very familiar. And I would love to end the episode on that note. But I won't, because I can't allow you to leave. And this is listeners can kind of like, you can end the episode here. Thanks for coming. But for me and maybe others out there as well that are really interested in your work, I just have to ask, as over, say, the next 6, 12 months, however long, I know you're a planner. I know you're obviously a thinker based on what the conversation we just had. Like, what's coming up for you in that next time frame, anything that you can share, so to speak, that's coming up in that next time frame. I'm always excited to see the different things that you're doing. So as a fan, and as other fans might be listening to this episode, I have to ask that question. And you can not answer. Feel free to not answer. But I
no, I'm happy to be transparent with it. Like, for me, the priority is always positioning myself to create the best imagery I can, right? So planning a few trips over the remainder of the year where I can go ahead, work on my craft, develop my craft. The byproduct of that will be more episodes of Church and Street. I released the first one, like, I think February. And I originally had a plan of like every 3 months I would drop an episode. But, you know, the one that I had previously planned, like, it just wasn't good enough for me. Like, I love the first one so much. I'm like, I want to make stuff that's worth, like, that feels like appointment television to anyone that's interested in it. So I have some exciting ones planned for the rest of the year. So that will come out. I the biggest thing I'll plug is the Church and Street Photo Club. So churchxstreet.com. You go there every 2 weeks. It's me sending out an email, usually 500 words or less, talking about an image or talking about a story around photography, right? And so I have a ton of great stuff planned for that. Beyond that, you know, maybe I don't want to jinx it, but like there's definitely some interesting projects that we're working on and people we're collaborating with. There's always going to be stuff, Dimitri. There's always going to be stuff coming out. Like, I think I'd love to put out a magazine of sorts that kind of culminates the best articles from Church and Street, but brings in imageries in a print form. There's a book that I am working on. I don't want to put a date on it yet, but the first book will just sort of be, these musings on, I don't want to call it advice, but sort of like my thought around certain photography techniques and ideologies, and me sort of like talking about these things. And I guess the best way to say it is, like, if I were to give you a book of the most important photography lessons that I learned, that's what this would be. And it's sort of like, it pulls from the greats, it pulls from friends of mine, it pulls from my adventures, but it's sort of like, here are the things that I believe and hold true that make me the photographer that I am right now, and I'd like to share that with you. So I'm hoping to have the first draft done this year, that I could put through editing and that I could release, make it as economical as possible, that people can purchase and enjoy. A lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff, and it's never awesome. Enough time, but, you know, I'm just moving each one little by little each day.
Cool. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate, well, one, you sharing that with me specifically, and I can't wait for that book to come out, because I'm definitely going to buy it. I don't care how non-economical it is. I'm definitely going to buy it. But I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, you know, taking the time for this episode. This was an awesome conversation, as I knew it would be.
Thank you so much, man. Again, I wanted to make sure we had this conversation when there was a lot of growth, development, and things worth talking about.
Sure.
And I enjoyed speaking with you again, man. I hope you're doing well.
And that was my check-in with Gajan. Hope you enjoyed it. Even while doing the editing for this episode, I actually got reinvigorated all over again after listening to this conversation, listening to the unique perspectives, and just hearing Gajan's cool confidence all over again. It just re-excited me, as it did when I was first having this conversation with him a few weeks ago. So I hope you took something from it, and I hope your own life journey has been progressing in the way that you wanted to. And even if you're not at the exact destination that you had planned for yourself to be at this specific moment, I hope you keep going. And the importance of that journey, it can't be emphasized enough. As always, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.